A pleasant good morning to each and every one of you. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God, Heavenly Father, we come before you. We ask, Lord, that may you move in our midst, touch our heart. We ask, Lord, may you use my lips to bring your message this morning. We're thankful, Lord, for all this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First of all, I'd like to praise the Lord and thank the Lord for allowing us to be able to, again, be able to share with you the Word. But first of all, I'd like to thank all of you for your prayers, for your concern. As you know, I went through some very difficult time, and I just praise the Lord that I have brethren that are always there praying for me. Last Sunday, we were singing on the other side, and there was a gentleman that came in, and I could not recognize the gentleman. It was Brother Don Rudecki. He lost weight, and I should have recognized him, but he was there, and he said, "I know what you're going through." He said, and Boro Pasan is too what we meant. But I praise the Lord because there are people that are always praying for us, like you. And I praise the Lord for the privilege to be able to, again, be able to be here. I told Pastor Jim, he asked me, "Pastor, can you preach?" I said, "Of course." He said, "What date do you want to preach?" I said, "Oh, you decide." I guess that's the way I always say, "Oh, you know, are you okay on the first Sunday of July?" Oh, I said, "Good, that will be fine." They didn't even look at my calendar. I forgot that it was the long weekend. But we praise the Lord. I always try to connect my message with the season. But I guess this is one of those things that I totally forgot about the 4th of July. But one thing I remember, I praise the Lord for the 4th of July, because we could never detach the Philippines from the United States. You see, we celebrate our independence on June 12th. But June 12th, we have our independence because our independence from the Spaniards. But see, we gained the independence not because we won, but because the Spaniards surrendered to the United States. The United States came over, destroyed the armada they had, and they got the Treaty of Paris going, and one of the parts of the treaty was that the Philippines was going to be given up by Spain, and it was given to the United States. But we celebrate our independence because we said, well, the Spaniards was out. So that was something else. But we praise the Lord, and you can always, it's always something that for a Filipino, it's always special. The United States will always be, America will always be important, and important to the Filipino. I was asked this morning if I was going to preach in Tagalog, because they said, "Pastor, do you preach Tagalog in your service?" My son had to remind me, "Dad, when you preach, remember you're not in our congregation." Because I would shift from Tagalog to English, Tagalog to English. But I said, "Don't worry, I'll remember. Hindi ko makakalimutan. I'm not going to forget this." But we praise the Lord for this. I'd like to share with you this morning. And as the scripture was already read, let me just continue on reading from the John chapter 6 on verse 5. This is what the Bible says. "When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company came unto him, he said unto Philip, When shall we buy bread that this may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pence worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, There is a lad here, which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. And now there were much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. I'd like to share with you this morning, and I call it to be used of God. To be used of God. In my congregation, in our congregation, we have probably, I would be the youngest. I'm 55, and the next to me would be about 65. Of course, not counting my son. But the oldest is about 80-something. And a lot of times whenever I preach, I would share with them, to be used of God. They would say, Pastor, we are past that thing already. I don't think the Lord can use us. I said, no. We are still able to be used of God. I'd like to share these things with you as well. That in our lives, whether we are young, whether we're old, you might say, Pastor, I'm the senior of the senior. I have gone through what they call, how they had those extended warranty? Yeah. I'm past the extended warranty. Maybe, but you still can be used of God. I'd like to share with you, and I'd like you to focus two things. The young lad and what the Lord is able to do with what he had. The background of what we're talking about is the Lord was preaching, and in where he was, as he was preaching, they come to a point where it was afternoon, and you got about 5,000 men. Excuse me, ladies, but the Bible always talk about the number of men. Pastor, there were no women? No, there were. It's just that's how they call. They don't look at me. Don't blame me. They wrote this. They were. You could just imagine if there were 5,000 men, probably there's another 5,000 ladies. And then, just like they have one lad, a lad is probably about 14, 15 years old. They're all those children. So it's not just 5,000 men, but probably as a whole, there was probably close to 10,000, 15,000. And they were following and listening as the Lord was teaching. And the Lord told them, it's time to eat. So you see the multitude, and then the Lord brought the question. What are we going to feed them? What are we going to feed them? We praise the Lord because I have a small congregation. All I got to do is bring a box of donuts and we're good. One donut is good to bring the sugar up. And that's all I need. But hey, 15,000 people. These are hungry. That's why when he looked at one of his disciples, where are we going to buy the food? One said, Lord, you can take my whole year's salary just to buy bread, and they're going to end up with a Lord's table size. And then another one said, Lord, there is a lad. And I hope you allow me to walk because I feel like I'm going to be shot when it's just standing here. I usually walk. See, one of the disciples said, but there is a lad here. And the lad has 5 barley loaves, 2 fishes. You kind of ask yourself the question, how could someone be so audacious to say, there is some fish, 5. There is, there's the loaves and the fish. But then he asked the question, but what is this to so many? I'd like you to imagine seeing that little boy standing before the Lord and said, this is my lunch. I have a feeling that little boy has somehow, his heritage goes back to a Filipino. Filipino always carries lunch. And not only a Filipino, an Ilocano too. Because we're so thrifty, we always bring lunch with us. Brown bag. Maybe before he left, Nana is already laughing because he said, oh, I always do that. When I was young, my mama would always say, don't go without something for you to eat. So the young boy probably had this lunch with him. So he was there standing before the Lord and said, Lord, this is mine. This is my lunch. When he came to the Lord, because the Lord said, hey, people are hungry. His thinking was, Lord, this is for you. Not to feed the people, but for you. And he said, I don't care about the multitude. I'm concerned about you, Lord. I want you to take this and eat. It's just amazing how, you know, young lad, he said, Lord, I keep listening. And I know if I eat and you don't eat, you might stop. So eat so that I can continue listening. Here we are. And one of the disciples said, but what is this to so many? What is this to so many? There was this opportunity. To each and every one of us, the Lord opens up opportunities. Wherever you are, how old you may be, how young you may be, opportunity to be able to be used of God. One of the things that I praise the Lord for, as we were going through our challenges, our personal challenge, my wife had to go through dialysis every other day. And one of the things that I had to do was to bring her there, because we were relying on my insurance, and they won't pick her up. I had to bring her there. So I would bring her there, and let me tell you, before I said, oh, dialysis, I wonder what it was, until I would be there and see what it was. Every day, or every other day, or depending on your schedule, someone's going to take this needle. And let me tell you, it's not a small needle. It's not the one they use to inject things. It's as thick as a 2-inch needle. You know, the two-inch thing needle? That's how thick it is. And they stick you with it right here or right here. And they don't do it just one. They have two of them. They stick you with two of those things. I would look and I would, within me, I would just be crying. But see, my wife always said, when it's time for, you know, to put it, she said, you go your way. You go back to your work. I'll be here. They would do that. And she would talk to this, to the technician and all this. A lot of them are Filipino. And she would talk to them about the Lord. She would talk to them about, you know, and they would say, like this and like this. People, you know, a lot of times, so that you won't be bored. You can always play different things. My wife would always say, well, I have my little laptop, and now what she does is she has verses there. She would talk to them about the Lord. And people would simply ask, how could you still talk about the Lord? You're already in a point where, you know, all these things. But my wife would always tell me, hey, the Lord brought me to this place. The Lord is giving me the opportunity to do this. Opportunity will always arise. The little boy was there and he said, okay, my Lord is hungry. What do I do? Lord, here is my lunch. Not for them, but it's for you. It is different whenever you look at it that way. We saw Don sang. He sang good. He sang good. But he is not singing for you and me. He is singing for the Lord. Amen? He is singing for the Lord. A lot of people say, Pastor, why do you still, you know, pick up those, because I have a lot of seniors. Pick up those seniors, bring them to church. After church, you know, you bring them back. I said, I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing it for the Lord. A lot of times people would come to church and said, oh, I don't want to go back to the church. Why? The pastor is so boring. He's like Pacquiao. You know Pacquiao? He always put people to sleep. The pastor always, when he starts preaching, he put people to sleep. At least Pacquiao get paid well. But then they're wrong why they're here in church. Because you're not here for the pastor. You're not here for the church. You're here for the Lord. That's the opportunity that you have. people said, "Oh, it's my day of obligation." I said, "Why? It's Sunday. It's the day of obligation." Because that's when I was young, that's what it was. Sunday, it's a day of obligation. You're obligated to be on church. No, you're not. It's a day of privilege. You are privileged to be in church. You do it for the Lord. The little boy came, say, "Lord, this is for you." The opportunity was there, and he took and jumped on the opportunity. When the Lord was there, whenever you're willing to give yourself to the Lord will always have these things to happen in you. First of all, the boy said, "Lord, this is my lunch. It's yours." There was a transfer from the lad to the Lord. From the hand of the boy to the hand of the Lord. Do you know that a lot of times, we said, "I will bring it to the Lord." In our church in the Philippines, one of the things that we do after every service is we have an altar call or an invitation. We said, if you want to come to know the Lord, come forward, and then we have counselors. Or if you have burdens, you have problems that you want to give to the Lord, you come to the Lord and lay it before the Lord. And you know what people do? I got this burden. And you know, a lot of times we can't imagine it, but suppose this is the burden, okay? Lord, this is my burden. And when the altar call came, you came forward, and "Lord, this is my problem. And after the prayers, after the benediction, you know what we do? We take it back, and we go home. Hey, you're supposed to leave it to the Lord. When you leave it to the Lord, it's not in your hand. Just like when you said, "This is yours, Lord. I am giving you this. This belongs to you." The Lord took what you give Him. Several years ago, after I came to know the Lord, I have my own desire. I have my own ambition. But one time I said, "Lord, I'm not gonna be anything. Lord, here is whatever I have. It's yours. The Lord called me to the ministry. I said, "Okay, wherever you want me, I'll go." The Lord said, "Go to the squatter area or the ghetto of Manila." I went there. People saying, "What are you doing there?" I said, "This is where the Lord brought me." The Lord said, "Okay, go back to the big church." I was back in the big church. One time the Lord said, "I want you to go to America." I was here once, way back 1986. In the Philippines, we are still, you might say, conservative. All our ladies in the Philippines still wear skirt long. All our gentlemen still have their haircut. Our barbers are still in business. When I got here, first time, 86, I saw young people that have skirts that were so short that I was asking, "Do they have still skirts? They were like, and mind you, this I was in a Christian church, and I was asked to preach to the young people. I was looking at them and I told my wife, "We're going back to the Philippines." And my wife said, "Why?" "I don't think this is right for us." You know, they were just, I mean, it was totally different. I was just surprised. So I went back to the Philippines. On early part of 1990, the Lord said, "I need you to go back to the United States." I said, "Lord," well, this was the reason. The Lord said, "There are several thousands of Filipino there that needs the Lord." You know what I said? "Lord, there are several millions of Filipino in the Philippines." The Lord said, "No, I want you to go there." I said, "Lord, if I get a visa, I'm going to go." Sure enough, I went there. I presented my passport. You know what? The guy looked at me and said, no. The consulate looked at me and said, no. Stamped my passport with denied. I said, okay, that's fine. So I went home, I told my wife, denied. So I said, okay. 3 days after that, I got a call. Our office, our church got a call. It was the U.S. Embassy. They want me to come back. I said, why? What did I do? He said, I want you to come back and bring your passport with you. My pastor said, well, what did you do? Nobody get called back in the embassy. So I went back. I said, did I forgot anything? He said, where is your visa? Where is your passport? So I gave the passport, said, okay, come back in 2 days and you'll have your visa. I said, you're giving me a visa? Yeah. You know, I wanted to ask why, but I said, I'm not going to go there. So that's why I was here. When the opportunity arises, I said, yes, Lord. When you give it to the Lord, give it to the Lord. It's not yours no more. The Lord took those bread, those fish. And you know after he took them, this is what he did. He blessed them. He blessed them. Blessing simply means setting aside. When you're eating, we sort of said, oh, we pray for the food. Now, when you're eating in a restaurant, you still pray, right? Amen? Pastor eats a lot of people. We still pray. But you don't pray for every table in the restaurant, right? You only pray for what is in front of you. Because that's what is yours. The same is true when the Lord took the fish and the bread, he blessed it. Now it's for his use. It's not for anyone's use, but for his use. He blessed it. And then he break them. A lot of us come to the Lord and say, Lord, I got this talent. I got this talent. This and this and this. Yeah, Lord, you could use me. No, the Lord doesn't use us because we are good at something. The Lord will make us good to what he wants us to be. He reshapes us. He totally take you and break you up so that you can be something that he wants you to be. If you have met me before I become a Christian, you won't like me. People call me, my friends would always say I'm antisocial. I don't like talking to people. My father would always tell me, Alan, you got to learn to talk to people. I said, I don't like talking to people. He said, you have to learn. My dad is a tailor, so he would talk to people. I said, that's why I didn't want to be a tailor. That's why I was more into accounting and I was into, you know, college supply and those things. I said, because I would rather argue with people. He said, if I become a lawyer, then I'll be arguing with people. I'm good at that. I would argue with people. And my father said, no, you got to learn to talk to people now. When I surrendered my life to the Lord, I said, Lord, here's my life. He said, you stop arguing with people. You start to be more friendly with people. My wife always tells me that I was one of the most boring person in the world. Because she'll do the talking, I'll do the listening. She'll do the joke, and I'll give her a hmm. My friends would always say, Alan, we don't know how Irma started, how Irma would stay with you that long. Because they said I was just boring. But when I gave my life to the Lord, the Lord said, let me break it up. I don't need you. You need me. I don't need your talent. I'll give you the talent. I could never carry a note. You know, we have a saying in the Philippines that whenever a baby is born, whoever is taking care of them, you should be careful of the nanny. You should find a nanny that has a good voice. Because they said, the first music that they hear, That's how they will have their music. You know? And somehow my mom got a very, very bad voice, nanny. That's why when I was young, you know, I could never carry a note. They said there were always, well, this would be in Tagalog, they said there's always the alto, the soprano. You remember those? The tenor. In my case, I have another one. It's the cinto. Cintonado. Or the out of tune. But my wife was telling me, said, you know, you're starting to sing good. When we gave our voice, when we gave our life to the Lord, my wife could, she was the Superman in our place. She could play the organ, she could sing, you know, she could play the guitar, and I was the, you know, the worst when it comes to music. I can't play any of those. But she said, sing with me. Do, 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 do. But the Lord made these things. He breaks us. He breaks us. People would always say, and you know, if you are willing to give your life to the Lord, be ready for what He is able to do in you. You'll be surprised. He is able, or He will break you. One thing more about breaking. People will always have that pride. I guess all of us have that. Ah, I'm going to be like this. I had a friend who went to America from the Philippines, and his desire was this. He said, I'm going to build a church in the Philippines, and I'm going to raise $1 million so that when I come back to the Philippines, I will have this beautiful church done. He went here. He was here for about 5 years. Then he came back. When he came back, he said he owed more than he left. One of our young students said, so what happened to the million, Pastor? See, sometimes we come to the Lord with that pride and said, hey Lord, you know, I can do this. The Lord breaks us also. The Lord doesn't need, you know, there are a lot of people that are filled with pride already, that are so boastful, oh, I can do this. The Lord wants to make us come to Him and say, Lord, what do I do? It's not what I am able, but what is God able to do through you. I'm teaching my son. He went to the Bible college. But he always tells me, Dad, I am not a preacher. I said, okay, I'm not gonna argue. He said, Dad, I can't even get along with people. I said, I'm not gonna argue. I said, just give it to the Lord. He's the one that's been taking a lot of our seniors. And I said, I asked our seniors, is he okay? Oh, he's very nice. He's very sociable. I said, amen. Now I'm asking the Lord, break that you know, that thing within him said, I cannot preach. Because I know when the Lord, if you give your tongue to the Lord is able to use that. He break it. Ask yourself the question, oh, I want to do this for the Lord, but the Lord hasn't given me the opportunity. Oh, the opportunity is there. You're just not willing to give it to the Lord to be broken down. He will break it down. When we were starting work in the Philippines, somebody offered us a place. The place was a rundown place, and it used to be, listen to this, it used to be a gambling den. The one that owned the place came to know the Lord and said, well, I'm not going to use it no more. If you want, you can use it as church. People was, when they said, okay, we'll come in and look at it. Sure enough, it was just a big, it's like a big box. Because before, they had tables for gambling, so they took it off. And people said, you can't use that, it's used to be a gambling place. I asked the Lord, what do you want us to do? The Lord said, go in. Show them what I can do. In a matter of 1 year, we filled that place with people that was there not to gamble, but to give their life to the Lord. The Lord is able and He's willing to break things so that it could be used. But He can use anything if you are willing to give it. Lastly, and let me close with this. After He broke it, the Bible said He called His disciple, gave each disciple a piece. They got a basket. You know, it's. I always like to picture things. Could you imagine Peter holding a basket, and the Lord dropping, okay, one barley loaves, one fish, go and feed them all. You know, Peter was probably saying, "You're sure about this, Lord? I saw you drop a fish and a bread, but you know, go." You could just imagine as he would dip his hand on the basket. Whoop! There's a bread. Give one. Whoop! There's a fish. He probably wasn't wanting to turn around because, hey, you know what was in the basket. But the basket kept getting heavier. He gave on. And gave on. And gave on. And gave on. The Bible said, until everyone was filled. They were not just took a little, but they were filled. In the Filipino, it means that they were about to go to sleep already. Filled. Ooh, that was good. And the Bible said, the Lord told him, gather the fragments that remains. So they started looking around. Sure enough, there were a lot of fragments. How many they filled? They have 12 baskets full. And after that, the Bible is silent. But let me just put this suggestion. Let me just suggest this. That when that little lad went home, he was filled. And he was carrying one of those baskets. He said, hey mom, you remember that 5 bread and 2 fishes? Hey, look at what I got. You never lose what you give to the Lord. You may give Him your life. You may give Him everything. But He'll always come back to you much more than you bargained for. The Lord is so good. I've been in the ministry now for over almost 20 years. And let me tell you, when I spoke to one of my we call it godparents in the Philippines. When I told him I become a pastor, and you know what he said? You have gone crazy. He said, you have lost. You know, you have lost some screws over here, your marble. He said, you are just 1 or 2 years more and you become a lawyer. What are you doing? He said, this is what the Lord wants. He said, no, that's crazy. I'm here. You see my son. I don't think he's malnourished. You see my daughter. I don't think none of them are malnourished. The Lord has given us more than we bargained for. My wife went through one of the sickness that is real hard. One time when I went home, there was a letter that came, you know, when she was still in the hospital and everything. It was a note from the hospital. And it says, this is not a bill. This is just for your information. And it was the bill, it was the bill that they were going to send to the insurance company. And I look at it and then close it again. And my wife said, what's in it? He said, the bill. I said, well, tell me what it is. He said, you don't want to know. I said, I want to know. So I opened up, I gave it to her. The bill for 2 weeks of stay in the hospital was $180,000. And you know what she said? If I knew this, I would not stay in the hospital. We should have taken the money and buy a house. But the point is this. The Lord said, I'll take care of you. You gave your life to me, I will use it. And when it comes back to you, just like that little boy, he only gave a lunch, you know, just several, a little. But when it came back, it satisfied the multitude. It satisfied him as well. But most important thing is, the Lord was glorified. You may be young, you may be old. The Lord is able to do mighty things in your life. He's not done it yet. Mother's Day, my wife and I have a Facebook account. You know, we could put things in there. Mother's Day came, and I wrote something on her wall. And one of the things that I put there said, we have a lot of whys, ? Before. I said, you have yours answered already. I still have mine. I said, but I praise the Lord. He has done great things in our lives. He has done great things. I have given my life to the Lord a couple of years already. Regrets? Definitely not. You're probably saying, oh, are you done, Pastor? My wife can say that. I am done. I'm with the Lord. If I ask myself the question, okay, do I stop now? No. The Lord is not done yet. There's still opportunity. You may be young, you may be old. Opportunity is there. Are you willing? Lord, this is just mine, but let me give it to you. You. Not to others, but you. And then you can use it for others. Let's pray. Our gracious God, Heavenly Father, we're thankful for these things that you've done. We're thankful, Lord, for reminding us. Just like that little lad. So little. And yet, Lord, in your hands, they're able to satisfy the multitude. I pray, Heavenly Father, that to each and every one of us, that we will open our eyes and find those opportunities. Find those opportunities that you opened in our lives. And that we may take whatever we have and say, Lord, here it is. Take it. Use it. Break it. Do whatever you want to do with it. But Lord, it is yours that you may be lifted up. I pray, Heavenly Father, for your continuous presence. I pray, Lord, that may you touch our heart, touch our whole being. That being Christian is not just coming on Sunday, but rather it is a time of looking at those opportunities and becoming what you want us to be. Just the excitement of knowing that we are still able to be used by you for your glory. Thank you for all this. We give you back the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.